Good morning, Rabbosai. I hope everyone is doing well. I want to share a few thoughts in preparation for Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah coming up already tomorrow night following Hoshana Rabbah. The first question that everybody asks this time of year is what essentially is the difference between Simchas Torah and Shavuos? They seem like holidays that overlap or not redundant, but need to have some dividing line, some different conceptual approach to appreciate what each one has to offer. What is that exactly? So I want to share two ideas. One, maybe more on the intellectual level, and the second, on the emotional level. On the intellectual level, we can think about it like this. On the calendar, Rav Shamshon Frohlhirsch explains, we have, of course, Shalosh Hagolim, but in a certain sense, they highlight two particular parts of the year. One in, we'll say, the fall, and one in the spring. In the fall, following Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you have Sukkot, followed by Shemini Atzeres, and there's a Chol Hamoed in between. In the springtime, you have Pesach and you have Shavuos, and even though there's 50 days between the two of them, there is an aspect of Shavuos, as it were, rounding out Pesach, followed by a longer Chol Hamoed, in the same way that Shemini Atzeres rounds out Sukkot. And this is not an idea Rav Hirsch made up. The Rishonim already talk about this. Ramban and Sefer Chinuch, Shemini Atzeres comes to cap off following the 7 days of Sukkot, not so different than the way Shavuos caps off the holiday of Pesach, just with a longer interlude in between. And where do we see that parallel? So Rav Hirsch explains the parallel is as follows. Pesach highlights, celebrates, or marks the formation, the creation of the Gashmius of Klal Yisrael. Physically, we were redeemed from under the rulership, the slavery of Paro and Mitzrayim, and we became independent. And we marched out of Mitzrayim on our own, safe, healthy, protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Makos, and our enemies were destroyed. That's the physical formation of Klal Yisrael. So Shavuos, after that span, that we count towards in Sefiras HaOmer, Shavuos marks the formation of the ruchnias, of the spirituality of Klal Yisrael, because now besides the actual existence of a new nation, that nation on Shavuos was given its laws, it was given the means to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so our neshamas now had the pathway that they have to take in order to be one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we have, in the springtime, the formation, the gashmis of Klal Yisrael, the physical existence comes into being, and then our spiritual existence is formed. And with that, there's a wholeness, a totality that is completed through those two tandem Yom Tovim, so to speak, Pesach followed by Shavuos. If we go then to the fall, if we then look at Sukkot followed by Shemini Atzeres, there's a similar idea which parallels what happens in Pesach and Shavuos. Sukkot, L'man yidu dorasechem, ki b'sukkos hashavtis b'nei Yisrael, l'tzios ha'meretz b'Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu housed us in booths or in Anan HaKavod, whichever opinion we adopt, and in Shulchan Aruch we adopt the Anan HaKavod. That is not the formation of Klal Yisrael or its physical existence, but it's the preservation of that existence. Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out, and we were alive, and we were safe, and protected from all the things that were sent to harm our enemies. But now, as we march into the Midbar, that physicality, that Gashmis, has to be preserved. Kodesh Baruch Hu preserves it by caring for us, by enveloping us in these Sukkos Mamash, or the Anan HaKavod that kept away all harm through the time that we spent in the Midbar. So we preserve, we talk about the preservation of the Gashmias, and likewise, when we get to Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, we're focusing now on the preservation of the Ruchnias of Klal Yisrael. Just like Shavuos was the formation of that Ruchnias, and the giving of the Torah that delivered to us the core of that spirituality, the preservation of that spirituality is what we highlight on Simchas Torah. And that, Rav Hirsch explains how that's how he explains the parallel is complete. So Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah that we celebrate on Shemini Atzeres on the intellectual level is different than Shavuos, because it's not merely about receiving the means to conduct that spiritual relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the preservation of it. That as soon as we finish, we begin right away. And that which we received on Shavuos is still with us. It's still part of a process that's never ending. And the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us to keep us alive until Mashiach comes is able to, in a palpable sense, be experienced in the Gashmias at the beginning of Sukkot as we sit in the Sukkah and celebrated as we complete the Torah and begin yet again with exuberance and excitement without missing a step. So that's approach number one. Let's shift gears from the intellectual and focus more on the emotional. There's a mashal that's given to us by the Dibna Magid, which expresses what makes Simchas Torah unique from Shavuos. He says, let's say you have a king who was not blessed with children, and he had to go to a certain tzaddik, lived in the forest, to ask for his tefillos to be blessed with a child. And the tzaddik granted him that bracha and said, you will have a child, you will be blessed with a daughter, and there's only one condition that you must fulfill. You must ensure that not a single person outside of your family ever lays eyes on your daughter until the day that she's married, until the day of her wedding. So the king is happy to be given this promise, and of course, he commits to follow the rules that the tzaddik imposes upon him. When she becomes 18, so the king starts looking for a suitor, starts looking for a prince, and he opens up his castle for anyone who wants to come and discuss the possibility of marriage with his daughter. He meets all the potential suitors, and as you would imagine, each one comes and goes. But at the end of the interview, at the end of the chance, the audience with the king, each one says, well, can I meet your daughter? Can I see her? Can I speak to her? Let's see if there's any chemistry. And he denies each one of them the request. Finally, the last one, who's successful, after meeting the king, after speaking with the king, after discussing the potential shidduch with the king, doesn't ask to see the daughter, doesn't ask to meet her. Why? Because he says, I know this king. He's of noble stock. He's a generous man. He's a great man. He's a kind-hearted leader. And he's a righteous person. And I trust that his daughter, raised in his castle, is from that same stock, and will live up to the same midos and the same example that was set for her by her father, by her parents. And the king, seeing that he does not have that challenge, seeing that he can fulfill with this final suitor the promise that he was required to make to the tzaddik, says, she's yours. And they get married. A year later, the chassan, the prince, comes back to the king and says, Your Majesty, my father, 1 year ago, you made a beautiful, lavish celebration, a wonderful chasana. All the people in your malchus were able to come and celebrate, and it was a true simcha. I thank you for that. Now, a year later, on our anniversary, we need to celebrate again. We need to make another suda. We need to make another party. Because the nature of the happiness that I can express now is very different than the happiness that was expressed 1 year ago. A year ago, essentially what I was feeling was that I had the privilege to unite with you on your word, knowing you, assuming that your daughter is the same. And that was cause for celebration. But the relationship essentially was between me and you, Your Majesty. Now that I've had the Shana Rishona to meet your daughter, and to become acquainted with her and to develop a relationship with her, now it's time to celebrate that connection, that chibur, that yachas, that relationship, the relationship with the kala, with your daughter, the princess. And that's an entirely different celebration, because it's not simply me taking the king on your word, but it's an opportunity to celebrate the experience I've had of knowing your daughter and the wonderful person and the wonderful wife that she is. And that's a beautiful mashal for the difference between Shavuos and Simchas Torah. Shavuos, we said Nasa v'Nishma. We received the Torah, but we took HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his word without even knowing what was in it. We didn't know what we were getting into. We didn't know what the Torah had to offer, whether it be in the form of responsibilities or privileges or the unique status that made us who we are when we received the Torah. Like we said on Shavuos, the creation of the spiritual identity of Klal Yisrael. 6 months later, after we've had the opportunity to experience the Torah on our own with a renewed commitment and renewed determination to be Mekabel Torah, which is what we do on Shavuos, which is what we're supposed to focus on that Yontif. Now we come to Simchas Torah, and we're celebrating the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've had the chance not just to take you on your word, but with a renewed sense of commitment after the Nasa V'Nishma, to learn by myself, to appreciate, hopefully, looking back, especially with the purity that the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have allowed me to cut through to the center of my neshama and how it's transformed by Talmud Torah. I look back and appreciate the relationship, not just that we have with you, Hashem, that you forged at Har Sinai, but the relationship we have with your Torah that makes us different people, that allows us to think in a different way about our lives, about our aspirations, our goals, and who we are, and what we've become through that connection, not just to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but through his Torah and the experience of learning Torah and Talmud Torah. And that's what we celebrate on Simchas Torah, on a whole different level, on an emotional level, that Shavuos, the initiation of that relationship, doesn't provide for us in the same sense. And as a result, that's why the celebration of Shavuos is so different than the celebration of Simchas Torah. In Shavuos, we try to spend as much time as we possibly can learning. We spend the whole night learning. On Simchas Torah, in many places, we hardly learn at all. It's a pella. It always bothered me growing up that we can spend the whole day dancing with the Torah, but never actually open it up, or not that much, especially compared to Shavuos. We barely get a chance to learn. There's so much dancing, so much davening, and so much rejoicing. So what happened? The answer is because on Shavuos, we have to open the Torah, we have to open up the Gemara, and spend our time delving into it to acquaint ourselves with the Torah that we've just received on Hashem's word, as it were. But when we come to Simchas Torah and we're reflecting on the joy and the special privilege that Torah gives us, that Talmud Torah, learning Torah gives us, we're effusive. The excitement just leaps from inside of us, and we have to dance. And we have to dance and be besimcha to express on an emotional level what Torah gives us, that passion. It reminds me of a story. I've never seen this in print, but Rabbi Becher retold this story at the Asifa maybe about 5-6 years ago. In Lamport Auditorium, the entire yeshiva was together, all four morning programs, and he related as follows. Chief Rabbi, Lord Jonathan Sacks, was once invited to have some sort of conversation with the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I imagine the conversation revolved around some differences between Yiddishkeit and Christianity. And at some point, the bishop asked Rabbi Sacks, he said, you know what's missing from Judaism? Sure, you study, and sure, you have your laws, and you have your Torah, but Rabbi, where's the passion? It's all about learning and opening books and spending all day with your head in these volumes of Talmud and Tanakh. Where's the passion? So Rabbi Sacks thought for a moment and then said to the bishop as follows. He said, do you have a library in your church? He said, absolutely. Do you have hundreds, thousands of books, thick volumes, tomes of law and lore? I said, yes, we do. Okay, let me ask you this. Is there ever a time during the year that you take one of those books out and you dance with it? No. Is there ever a time during the year where you take out every single one of the books in the room and dance with it? No.
Is there ever a time where you take out every single one of those books and every single member of the congregation spends all day dancing, celebrating those books? He said, no. So he said, Father, Archbishop of Canterbury, where's the passion? And I remember being riveted by that story because it really highlights something so unique about Yiddishkeit. We dance with our Sfarim. We celebrate our Sfarim. It's unbelievable. While I'm telling the story, I'm just reminded of another story, which I heard from Rabbi Eitan Feiner a bunch of years ago. I believe the story is of Rabbi Arya Finkel, one of the great Rosh Yeshivas of the Mir dynasty. Maybe the story actually relates to Rabbi Eliezer Yudel Finkel. I'm sorry, I had to check the details. But a great Rosh Yeshiva who founded Yeshiva, where now there are thousands and thousands of people who learn every single day in so many different Batei Medrash. And when someone asked how you know, or what was it that he did to be Zocha, to build a Malchus of Torah? So I think, Arya Finkel maybe? Again, I have to check the details. He said, I was Zocha to sleep in the same room as Rosh Yeshiva when he was older, to take care of him. And I sensed that there was something happening late at night when I was unable to, when after I'd fallen asleep, that the yeshiva was busy with that I couldn't see. So one night I resolved to stay up late and pretend that I was sleeping and to see exactly what happened. And lo and behold, late at night, the Rosh Yeshiva got up when he thought I was sleeping, and he went over to the bookshelf and he took out every single book on the shelf that he had not learned from that day. And he gave it a kiss and apologized. I'm sorry that I did not study from you today. Azah avas haTorah, such connection, such passion for every single word of Torah. That's how a person builds themselves and their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Torah. And that's what Simchas Torah is about. When that exuberance and that joy, the ecstasy, just we can't contain it any longer because we've experienced Torah. And we know what Torah can do for us. We know how much Torah can inspire us and change each and every one of us. So that's what we're dancing about. And that's the difference between Simchas Torah and Shavuos. Needless to say, this year is going to be very, very different. And it's very hard. Very hard what my kids were asking just last night over dinner in the sukkah. What's going to be? No dancing on Simchas Torah? Could it really be? Another one of them asked, no candy? So I said, well, we'll take care of the candy. But it's just not going to be the same. It's just not going to be the same. Each one of us need to look for ways to express our simcha, maybe more inwardly, if it's not going to be outwardly. Not just using the extra time to sleep more over the Simchas Torah, but to celebrate our unique connection, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Torah has done for me, the personal experience, the marriage, the Torah. Now looking back, how have I changed since I redoubled my commitment to your Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I saw one shul is having a program. I don't know where the idea originated from, but Simchas Torah night, everyone should bring their own sefer, their favorite sefer, a sefer that speaks to them more than any others. And there's going to be a seder in the Beis Medrash. Every person learning their own sefer to just re-engage with the Simchas HaTorah in Adam Lomid Ella Makom Shalibu Chafetz. And experience that Simcha of Torah. Bring yourself back to when you were in yeshiva. It could be a Musar Sefer. It could be your Masechta from Shana Aleph. Wherever you ignited a passion, try to relive that. It's a very special idea. It's a beautiful idea. And perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message this year, as we've seen in so many other contexts, that hopefully there won't be any shuls with the tragic celebration of Simchas Torah, which is more alcoholistic than Torahdik, to just leave all that. And because we're forced to shave off some of the external trappings of Simchas Torah that may not be or certainly aren't what the Yom Tov is about, to connect to what it is about, the Simcha of Torah. And just to close, I think this helps us highlight and understand the answer to a question that was it's been posed. Chaim Soloveitchik is quoted as addressing this this shaila in the Emek Bracha. How can we maintain this practice of celebrating the completion of the Torah every year on Shemini Atzeres? There's a notion of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Gemara says we have to make sure that we don't overlap inappropriately. You don't have a chasana during a regel, because each simcha has to be celebrated independently for various reasons the Gemara discusses. So how do we superimpose Simchas Torah on the second day, as it were, of Shemini Atzeres? So one answer that's given, I heard this from a friend of mine a number of years ago, is that in essence, Simchas Torah is not a different simcha than Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres, the Midrash tells us, Kasher Alai Pridaschem, after 7 days, a whole yontif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to see you go. I'm going to miss you. You're leaving your shalom, going back to your home, and it's going to be so many months until we can reunite. So I'll add on one day, an eighth day of Shemini Atzeres. So everybody asks, I don't understand. What does adding the extra that day do? So tomorrow, after Shemini Atzeres is over, Kasher Alai Pridaschem again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be sad that we once again need to be apart for so long. So what does adding the extra day do? So the answer is, having this extra day and celebrating together, feeling that simcha in our relationship with Hashem through Torah, it isn't different than the simcha of Shemini Atzeres. It is the simcha of Shemini Atzeres that's a means to maintain the connection long after we're apart. The mashal that he gave me when, this goes back maybe 10, 15 years, when a parent sent their kids off to Eretz Yisrael after high school, they had to buy him a separate phone, rent an Israeli cell phone. Yeah, buy some stamps and postcards to write home to your parents in Eretz Yisrael, in America. So you do whatever you need to do. You create the means to maintain communication, maintain the connection long after you're physically separate. So Simchas Torah, we work on expressing that simcha, because that simcha, that passion, that emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through His Torah is what's going to keep us going for all this time until we once again are reunited with Him in Yerushalayim for the next regel. And that's what that's what we say. I think the Sfasemis has this maybe, and look in the Or Gedal Yo, the one in the brachas that we read on Simchas Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the different shvatim, smach zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar ba'alecha. Zvulun, be happy. You're going out on the ships, on the water, to raise money, to make a parnasa, and also support yisachar ba'alecha. Yisachar is going to be learning Torah with the classic yisachar and zvulun relationship. So what kind of bracha is that? Zvulun's going to be happy? He's got to leave the base medrash. He's going to be happy going out to work? The answer is no. It's an eitzah. Smach zvulun b'tzeisecha. As you go out back into the world of post Yom Narayim, post Sukkot, and the mundane day-to-day grind, be misameach now, smach zavulun b'tzeisecha, because that's what's going to keep you going. That's what's going to maintain the connection for all these months ahead. And we need that simcha. We really, really need that simcha. And if you look in the Meshach Chacham, and Sham Shalom Hirsch and Vayelech, that's why Hakel, which was also a huge unification of Klal Yisrael around Torah, was always at the end of Sukkot and after Shemitah, because both of those junctures symbolize leaving an entirely spiritual environment and going back into the Gashmias of the world. So we need to reinforce that before we're in the Gashmias, when we're still purified and we're still on an elevated high of our Yiddishkeit, to internalize it before we go back into the day-to-day grind. Smach zavulun b'tzeisecha. Kosh Baruch Hu should bless us with the ability to find ways to be mesameach in a unique fashion this year. To be mesameach around the Torah that gives us inspiration that lasts us for so long into the coming year ahead, Mirz Hashem. Have a wonderful, wonderful Yantif.